Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Caleb, and today we're going to be running through, kind of recapping how the first rundown of game ones went. We have a game one complete from every single series so far, and then look forward to what we've got today. Three games today. Orlando Magic back in Cleveland, Philly back in New York, and the Lakers back in Denver for game two. A couple of these lines have shifted, so the books taking smallish stances. We'll run through all of that. But let's recap this weekend first and how it went, what won from a betting perspective, but also just from a basketball perspective as well. We started Saturday with Cavs minus four. Felt like it was just a tiny bit short. We talked about it on the pod itself about how I liked it. I didn't know if I was going to get there, but I liked it. I liked it. And then as the day just went on, I was like, you know what? I like the Cavs. I like the Cavs. I like them at minus four. I took them. And it was a relatively sweat-free win. They were the better team for the majority of that game. There were moments where Orlando made a push. And Cleveland didn't score, and Orlando kind of got it back close, but they never were able to kind of get over that hump the way you look for, like the Pelicans did last night. Obviously, the Pelicans lose, but when you're trying to cover a 4 or 5, there needs to be that moment in the second half where you have your run, you have your stretch, and it never got there. And we talked about it, right, in terms of, to me, the difference in this series. Even though for the majority of the season, or the majority of the second half, Orlando's been a better basketball team. The difference for me between these two teams is both of these teams have great defenses. One, there's the experience factor that you just see because no matter what, in the playoffs, at some point, the offense is going to hit a rut. And you in those moments, you need guys that are confident and very, very skilled sometimes to go get you a bucket, create something to get your team some rhythm and energy going. And the Magic have guys in Franz and Paolo who are very, very skilled. But when it's, you know, your first time, it's hard, especially on the road. And you know, Donovan Mitchell is a guy who's done that over and over on the biggest stages many, many times. And I think you kind of saw it wasn't just the difference wasn't just the Cavs had Donovan Mitchell and the Magic didn't. But I do think that plays definitely a factor into it. And just the comfortability in terms of creating consistent offense. So we'll see. Again, we always see in these playoff games adjustments, counters to the counters. And we'll see what Orlando has tonight. But they really... I will say one thing about it is there are times you see where teams within the rut, they start to kind of shy away. And I didn't see that from the Magic. I still saw them looking to get their shots, stepping into them confidently. And they didn't go down at all. I think they scored the least amount of points out of any team this weekend. But this isn't a Magic team that's going to back down or shy away. Like I expect them to be in this, but we'll get to that. Next game we had T-Wolves Suns. I've talked to you guys about, I really like the Suns. I like Nurk props. Nurk did not get there. I do think it's going to be a decent look moving forward. I think he got a little unlucky with some rebound variance. But I do think the PRA is going to be a decent look still moving forward. You see a lot of times, too, KD and Book attract, too, and he finds himself pretty open at the rim. But we took an L there, and then we added a half unit to the Suns plus 7.5 live. Timberwolves just took it to him. I don't think the series is over, by any means. I will say the books did kind of come down a little bit on their stance. It opened at Wolves minus one in game one. It closed at two. And then now next game, it's at three. So at least in the book's eyes, that performance meant something, you know, like it. And you're seeing an adjustment in a lot of different spots besides the Dallas Clippers game, which, again, we'll get to, too. Like, just small micro adjustments in lines where it's like, all right, we probably opened that a little too short or a little bit too much. Like Orlando, Cleveland was 4, 4.5. It's now 5. And I've seen 5.5 in some spots. The Knicks was, you know, we got it at 3, closed at 4, 4.5. It's now at 5.5 today. So, you're seeing just little adjustments, and I think the books were a little bit surprised, and I was too, right? But I don't think you're going to get as poor of a Devin Booker performance, and I wouldn't be – like, this series is far, far from over. It was just a very impressive offensive night from Minnesota, and that's not something that you've always gotten from them. So we'll see how that holds up. Then we went to New York and Philly. That was a great game. That was probably one of my favorite games. We were on the Knicks minus 3, and Philly showed up. Philly really showed up. Joel got hurt. Looked like he could be done. Came back and played. He's questionable today. I would assume he plays, but you just really never know. And I think that's a little bit why the line is where it is today. We'll get into that. But that was a great game. You guys know we have 2 units on the Knicks series price. It's my favorite play in the first round. So we'll see. We're off to a good start there. And I think the most encouraging thing, too, is – it wasn't like the Knicks played poorly, right? Like, and there's a little bit of both when a team plays bad is like, you know, you got to give the other team some credit within that. But at the same time, like, you know, there are times where a team plays poorly and it's like, okay, we know they're going to play better. We know they're going to play better. That wasn't even like the case with the Philly Knicks game. Like, the Philly played a really good game. Joel played a really good game. The others played a really good game. And the Knicks just punched back every single time that Philly punched and pulled out a cover and a win. And so to me, that was a very impressive win in that it wasn't like the Clippers game where the Clippers got off to a great start and just, you know, you put yourself in a hole like that, you can't really get back. Or the Pacers, you put yourself – like, Philly got back. They punched back multiple times, and the Knicks still were able to fend them off and get it done. So, again, I don't think the series is over by any means, but it was a great start for Knicks backers, both in the series and that game itself. We'll talk again about those 3 games in a lot more depth after this. Finished off Saturday with the Lakers and Nuggets. Stayed off that game, but again – it went pretty similarly to what I thought. Lakers in that game up 14 at a certain point. But when Denver turns it on, when Denver has their run, because over 48 minutes at home especially, no matter how well you play, no matter how locked in you are, no matter the shots you're, Denver's going to make a run at some point in the game over 48. 48 minutes is just way too long. Denver's going to make a run, if not multiple. And we saw that when Denver made their run, the Lakers could not withstand it, and they didn't. Lakers got off to that great start, up 14, looking like, hey, we could steal this one, and then Denver locks in, pulls it out, and it is what it is. Like, this is the, in my opinion, I know the Celtics had the best regular season, but to me, this is still the team to beat, and they showed why against a very good Lakers team that played a good basketball game, that had a really engaged Anthony Davis, and the Nuggets not only win but cover fairly easily, given a good performance from LA. We'll talk more about game 2 coming up, but then yesterday was a fun day, another fun day. Hoop started the day off with the Celtics destroying the Heat. Absurd that they're 14.5 point favorites in a playoff game, but I mean, I understand it, right? And look, I know there are still some people out there that are like, hey, I don't trust it, I don't believe it yet, and I get that given the past, but this Celtics team is really, really, really good. Now, they are prone to sometimes some upsets when the shots aren't falling, but, I mean, they create good shots, so, and they have good shooters. So, more often than not, they're going to go down. Don't need to spend too much time on that. We then move to the Mavs and Clippers. We're on the Mavs minus 2. I added PG, PRA without Kawhi. Neither of those hit, and neither of them were really all that close. PG didn't shoot it super well, had a nice all-around game, but 35 was just a high number. Didn't get there. And then the Mavs just were completely outclassed from a coaching perspective. And again, just game one, I'm not going to say that this series is over. It's definitely not over. But just on the Clippers side, one, they came in more focused, more engaged. The defense was just tremendous, right, from the Clippers side, where really a lot of the offense with Dallas is almost 99% of it is initiated by Kyrie Irving or Luka Doncic. And immediately off the inbound, there's someone in Kyrie or Luka's face, right? So, okay, we'll just whatever. We'll inbound it to the power forward, bring it up, and try and get it back. And the ball denial is so tough all game from Russ, from Terrence Mann, from PG, from whoever it is that they put out there, that a lot of times these guys, Luka, Kyrie, are getting the ball with half the shot clock gone. And then from there, I just, to me, it's a little sketchy, right, in terms of like the Mavs right now don't seem to have the shooters to fully punish LA, where it's like you get Derrick Jones Jr. a decent look or Kleber a decent look, but it's not like perfectly in rhythm. They're just doing a really good job of forcing Luka and Kyrie to either take a tough mid-range shot, which they can make, but it's hard to beat a team with that being the vast majority of your shots. We saw it even with Phoenix, right? And they both can make those mid-range shots, but they're tough. They're tough. And or kicking it out to a shooter like Derrick Jones Jr. or PJ Washington or Maxi Kleber, where it's like they're, quote, open, but it's like they're not butt naked wide open threes. They're doing a really, really good job of showing help in gaps on guys, but also recovering out to shooters to a point where it's like that's probably the shot you got to take at this point, because we've spent so much time trying to just get it into Luka and Kyrie that at this point we're narrowed down to, you know, 8 to 5 seconds where, all right, I got to either shoot this pretty okay look for mid-range, but still tough, or kick it out for a pretty okay look. And with Luka and Kyrie, there's so much offensive talent there that you've got to find ways to create downhill situations for those two where you put the defense in a decision to either help because you have to, and you get a wide open three or lob at the rim, or Luka or Kyrie is going one-on-one and getting to the rim. And they just didn't. Jason Kidd did not do a good job of that. On the other side, too, Ty Lue did a really good job of mixing up sets, mixing up looks. And yes, James Harden got hot, but I do think a lot of that, again, is because the quality and the rhythm of the looks for the Clippers early were just a lot better, and they were able to ride that. And then Zoo looked really, really good against Gafford. Gafford did. It was a little bit concerning just in terms of you tell me Zoo and Gafford. Obviously, Zoo's bigger, stronger, a little bit like more sturdy. But I didn't think he would punk Gafford the way that he did early in that game. So still a very long way to go. Clippers coming right back in as 3-point favorites. And I think this takes a little bit of pressure off of the Clippers in terms of, all right, if they lose the first game at home, Kawhi, you good? You good, bro? Where today, our next game, I think it's more of, you know, we already got one. But at the same time, really, Dallas's job coming into this is winning one. Just get one of these games in LA. Get one of these games in LA. Now we have home court. We're good. We did our job. Get one. So the job's not complete for the Clippers. Really interesting game. Interesting that the books have not budged on Dallas again. Right? Like, run it back, right? Right at -3, where a lot of these other games, Knicks game one -3 at open -3, Cavs at open -4, T-Wolves at open -1.5. And they've all moved after wins. The Mavs, Clips have not. Next game, Bucks and Pacers. We took the Bucks, and I like the Pacers coming in. The more and more that we got into it, I just started to have a feeling of Bucks, just like what am I doing, but it's too late. I couldn't back off or change, but we took the Bucks in game one, +1. They easily win, actually destroy the Pacers. We were on Middleton PRA and Bobby points. Bobby falls a little bit short. Middleton cashes, Bucks cash. I don't know, like, I again, the Pacers are going to play better basketball moving forward. But the Bucks look like, hey, we've been here, we've done this. Y'all are new to this. Y'all are new to this. And I'm very curious to see what the response looks like. But Bucks took care of business, and it really wasn't that close. And that's without Giannis, right? So we'll see. But Bucks Packers gotta like the way that series started. Last game of the day was the Pelicans Thunder, and it was just a great game. A game that was much needed, given a lot of these games earlier were pretty much decided after the second quarter with the Bucks, Pacers, Mavs, Clippers, and Heat Celtics. So it was great to get a sweat-free, not a sweat-free, but like a game that, you know, was back and forth, that wasn't decided after the second quarter. Pelicans did everything that they could, had every chance to win, and the Thunder pulled it out. But you guys see, I think this is one of these series where we have a ton of series right now that are super close. And this is one of these series where people might not think that it's going to be all that close, and I think it will be. I think minimum it's going six games, and curious to see how the Pelicans respond after a really, really tough L in which they were right there. Like, it hurts. You don't get any extra points for losing in a close game. But, I mean, they were right there. They're right there. I think you got to feel at least decent about how things went. Now, let's get to today's
game. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's games, we got three games. We got the Magic in Cleveland, Philly in New York, and the Lakers in Denver. Magic in Cleveland as 5-point underdogs. Again, we just saw, to me, you saw two teams that, you know, offensively are going to go through their ups and downs. And Cleveland started the game hot, made their first five threes, then missed a bunch, and they still basically controlled the game because you just never felt like Orlando had it going. Now, I think Orlando, and that was with Paolo honestly playing pretty well. They need more from Franz Wagner. I get why this line got bumped up to five. I think this is just going to be a stay away. I do. And I do kind of like the under, just in terms of like both these teams play so slow. Both these teams have great defenses. We look, and just in general, I think unders are the move right now with totals, and just in terms of like, one, you're not seeing nearly as many foul calls. We saw that in the regular season. Two, the pace slows down. And you look, yes, you get a total at 202, but yesterday, look at all these unders, right? Miami and Boston, 209 under, finishes at 206. Clippers, Mavs, 221 under, finishes at 206. Bucks, Pacers, 230 under, comes flying in at 206. Dude, the amount of 206 games. Pacers Thunder, 216 and a half under, 92-94. And this game in game one finished 97-83. So I know it's scary because it's like, this is 202. They just basically both need to score 100 points. But these are two teams that are just super, super grindy, that aren't really shooting the ball super well, that both have great defenses. I think that's probably my favorite look. And I think on top of that I think point unders for a lot of these games. I don't think I'm going to get there on anything here today, but like you get these high point totals in the 20s for some of these guys. Like even let's look today. Let's take a look today. Prop builder's taking a little bit to load, guys, but you guys know what I'm saying, right? So like even Garland 16 and a half, I like the under. Dude, yeah, Donovan Mitchell 26.5. I honestly like the under. I just Franz Wagner 18.5. You got Paolo at 22.5. Yeah. I mean, these books understand where it is. Like, they're not as high as they usually are. Oh, line just got bumped up from 202.5 to 203. I will say, I think Jonathan Isaac is an interesting target, right? He played 28 minutes. That's more than he usually does. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. That's only 16 on the PRA. So it's not even necessarily PRA that you'd want to target. I think you'd want to target threes. Jonathan took 4 threes, and you've got that at 1.5 plus 174. And then I think steals slash blocks are interesting. If your book has like a stocks where you can combine them, that'd be cool. But steals at 1.5 is minus 126. And then let's see what the blocks are at. Blocks, 1.5 is minus 154. Yeah, I just think both of those are kind of interesting. He does play more minutes than he's played in the regular season. And he's just massive for them defensively. I also think Jalen Suggs, again, it's going to come down to whether or not he hits him. So it's like, where is your tolerance level at for variance? Because I feel like threes is like the biggest, highest variant thing. Like, your guy could get over. I've been on both sides where my guy gets plenty of looks, good quality looks. He just misses them. And then there's times where, like, he doesn't even get that many looks and they're not quality and he just drills them. So, but I will say Jalen is going to get looks from three. He's going to get looks from three. He took them without any hesitation. They just did not go down last game. I think 1 of 7. But 1.5 is minus 159. So there's a decent amount of juice there. I like Niang. Oh, like these threes, Niang last game played 24 minutes, took 4 threes. I think he stopped looking at them a little bit more after he missed his couple ones. I don't hate that. Yeah. I think Garland over 16.5, under 16.5 is a decent look too. Only took 11 shots. Honestly, shot it pretty well. And still didn't get there. So, yeah, I think anything under is where I'm at. I think in terms of the spread, I'm off this. I could see Orlando battling back into this thing, but also – I think probably where I'd feel most comfortable targeting Orlando is after now today, game three back at the crib, where they've been really, really good. Like, Orlando will absolutely win a game at home, in this series. I would guess. And so we'll be able to probably get them game three at a shortest number. At most, it would be 4. In my opinion. All right, next game, Sixers and Knicks. Joel's questionable. I don't have a great read on whether he's in or out. I was actually in the shower when he got hurt, and my friends were texting me like, oh, Joel's done. And then I come out of the shower and he's back. I'm like, all right, guys, whatever. But I mean, obviously, like, if it was the point where, like, Joel's done and his knee's already been bugging him, like, I'm sure it didn't help how he's feeling right now. With that being said, I'd assume he plays, right? He played second half last game. Obviously, adrenaline's a part of that. But, I mean, if he played structurally, he's okay. And I think it just comes down to trusting it. And obviously, that messes with him. You're not getting 100% Joel, even if he does play. But I do think that he ends up playing today. At 5.5, I think this is fair, though, right? Like, this is – right, this is why we had so much action on game ones is just finding the value before any of the games have been played. Because once the games start to line up and play, the books, I feel like, kind of get to a point where they're like, all right, we know what it is. We know where these should be. Things are going to fall in right around these places. And I think 5.5 is a good example of, you know, we had 3 in game one that felt short. Now you get to 5.5 and it's like, yeah, I'm not going right. Like, if I like 3 on the Knicks in game one, now we get 2.5 extra points for the Sixers after an L in a game in which they played really well. Like, the Sixers absolutely could have won that game. They didn't, but they played at a level in which if the Knicks didn't play well, they could have got that game. So we'll see. In terms of spread, I'm off of it. Like, we can see, like, maybe if there's some numbers here or matchups here that line up well. We'll take a look at the box score. So Mitch Robinson ended up playing more than Isaiah Hartenstein. I think Mitch just, he's bigger. He's longer. I think he's just has a little bit more juice vertically, than Isaiah Hartenstein. They're both 7 feet tall, but, you just saw the usefulness of Mitch, and that, you know, Joel's still going to score. Joel's still going to get his, but Mitch did a really good job of just making things as tough as possible. I think block shots for Mitch is interesting. We got 2+110, +110. I like that. I think, again, he came back in April, but he played 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 11 minutes, 19 minutes, 19 minutes against Chicago, 14 minutes, 25 against Brooklyn, 7 against Chicago, and then 30 last night. Like, I just, that is, now that we're here, I think he's fully unleashed, and they were just kind of easing him in. It's always a little sketchy because it's a night-to-night thing, right? Like, if Mitch comes in, picks up two fouls, and then or Hartenstein starts the game and is just cooking, like, I could see them going to Hartenstein. And, right, like, I don't necessarily think that just because of the last game, what went down, that's exactly how the center rotation is going to just play out the rest of the way. But I do think Mitch at over 7.5 rebounds is a decent look, and I do think that Mitch over 1.5 blocks is a decent look as well. Miles McBride over 1.5 threes, I don't hate that at all. He played, again, it's one game. You don't want to, like, just, okay, everything that happened in game one is going to happen again in game two. But the Knicks really did shoot the hell out of it. And Miles McBride really shot the hell out of it. I do think it's interesting that this total is chilling at 205 after going to 215. So again, I don't hate the under in this one. I think game one, phone's a little bit slow. Game one, I think, definitely went over. So yeah, I would say for me, I'd target Mitch props, and then I'd target the under here as well. I think that's what my favorite looks are. Last game, the under sat at 208.5. It went over, and it's now come down to 205. So yeah, and we've seen these two teams have had plenty of their own low scoring battles. And two defense, like, Cleveland and Orlando gets all the, I feel like, shine as the defensive, oh, there's gonna be so much defense. I feel like Philly and New York are just right there, and they don't get quite the same amount of coverage around that. So I actually really like the under, and I like Mitchell Robinson over 2.5 or 1.5 blocks. I don't mind rebounds either. I think as long as he plays 25 plus minutes, and there's obviously we just saw the pathway to that, he should get there on both. All right, last game of the day, Nuggets Lakers. Again, really, really, guys, the only way I could look is Nuggets -7, and it's the same thing. It is really the same damn thing in terms of this might be close. This could be. The Lakers could be tied with the Nuggets going into the fourth. And I'm still, if I had Lakers +7, I would not feel comfortable because, you know, over 48 minutes, a run eventually comes. And are the Lakers going to be able to take that hit? Right. Oh, all right. You go on your run, 10-0 run in 2 minutes, whatever, and hit back. And they're definitely capable of it. They are. But you need to do that really over and over and over to cover a 7. And last game was just the perfect, like, that is Lakers Nuggets. Lakers, oh, they look good. They might pull this out. You look up later in the fourth, the Nuggets are up 12. And that's that. So that'll do it, guys. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow we got Suns, Timberwolves, Pacers, Bucks, and Mavericks, Clippers. Should be another fun one. And it's fun today, man, too. We got two two really grindy, good Eastern Conference series that, you know, the favorite to win the series was a relatively short favorite. And the underdogs are looking to punch back and see if one of these two teams can grab game two. I'm not betting on either of them to do it. Not betting the favorites either. But it should be fun slate of hoops. Now, to recap, I like the under in Cleveland, Orlando. I do. I know it's short. But I would, if I had to bet it, I'd bet the under. Don't really love any props. If I'm betting a prop, it's going to be an under prop. I will, or Jonathan Isaac steals. Like I really do think that that's a decent look. I also don't, I know Gary Harris didn't make anything, but, 1.5 threes plus 122, decent enough look. He had some good looks. He took them with confidence. They didn't go down. But let me see how many he took last game. And then we'll get out of here. So played 33 minutes, right? That's a lot of minutes. 33 minutes. Because he's just the best fit with that group, right? You look at anyone else off the bench for Orlando, it's like you either give away something from shooting, from a shooting perspective or a defensive perspective. And with Gary Harris, yeah, he's not sexy. Yeah, he's not like probably the Magic need to upgrade that moving forward. But he is the best mix of a defend on-ball defender and a guy who can shoot the ball. So he's going to play these minutes. I don't hate over 1.5 threes at all. And I think he's going to find himself in some situations where that's the play. Gary, you got to shoot that. And I think if he gets 5 3 attempts tonight, he gets there. Right? This is a guy who shot 37% on the year. I think he's going to get plenty of looks tonight. In the Philly-New York game, I like going to Mitchell Robinson blocks. I like going to the rebounds. And then I really do like the under at 205. And then Lakers-Nuggets. Nuggets are the only way I could look. But don't love anything in this game either. And this is one of these games, too, where it's like, both teams, the roles are so established on both ends that it's like the props are, like in the Knicks Sixers, Mitch came back late, right? So it's like, I feel like there's still some ambiguity with the books. They're like, oh, how's Mitch going to do with the Lakers Nuggets? Like everyone is established from the starters to the couple guys that come off the bench. You kind of know what you're going to get. Don't think you can find any value, but best of luck to whatever it is that you guys end up playing today. Good luck is the best time of the year. Be careful, right? Like don't just play anything for fun. And if you do, that's fine. Just understand that it is what it is going into it. But the playoffs, again, it is harder to make money than the regular season just because the matchups are over and over and over and over again. It makes it hard with props because it's just straight variance around a line that the books know it should be at. And then even the spread, you're seeing these slight micro adjustments to take away some value that we had in the game ones where we were on Cleveland -4 game one. We're on the Knicks -3 in game one. And now you get them at worse numbers in a spot where the team they just played lost. So you should, you know, get again even more focus. Anyways, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Best of luck and I love you guys. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.